So we usually assume that there are Hamishu Chumshei Taira. And Halacha L'maisa, we don't really paskin like that. We paskin that there are, that's why we call it a Chumash. It's 1/5. Halacha L'maisa, we paskin like the Tanan that there are 7 Svarim in Taras Moshe. And Bamidba is divided into 3 sections. The beginning of Bamidba till Bahimet Sohar, right? And then the 2 Pesukim, Bahimet Sohar and Avinucha Yoimar. And then from Avinucha Yoimar till the end of Bamidbar. And the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos. And that's the meaning of the Pasuk in, where's the Pasuk in Mishlei? I already forgot. Chachmas Bansa Besa Bansa. Different pasuk. Chotzva Amudeh Hoshiva. Chotzva Amudeh Hoshiva. There are 7 foundations for the Chachma. So the 7 foundations are the 7 Chumashim. You can't even call it a Chumash. Usually to separate between Bereshis and Shmos, and Shmos and Vayikra, you have 4 blank lines. And here you don't have 4 blank lines. Here you have Nunim Hafuchim. But the Gemara says that these 2 psukim, Vayivin Tzohar and Menucha Yomer, constitute a sefer bifnei atzmai. What's the significance of this sefer? The Gemara says that Tanoim say we count up all the letters in the 2 psukim. There are pehe oisias, 85 oisias. What's the significance of pehe oisias? So the Gemara says that's the smallest sefer in Tanakh, only has 85 letters. Let's say you have a Sefer Yeshaya, you have a Sefer Melochim, and a couple of letters are rubbed out, a couple of psukim are rubbed out, but you have 85 osias still remaining. So the Gemara said this still has a status of Kisri HaKodesh, and it's Mentame Zayadayim. But if it has less than Tehay osias, there's no Sefer in Tanakh that's less than Tehay osias. That's based on this Tana that we paskan like, that Vayimet Zoharen is a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. What's the significance of this Sefer Bifnei Atzma? Why do these 2 psukim deserve to be considered a Sefer Bifnei Atzma? So the idea behind it is that the Torah travels from continent to continent, from society to society, from generation to generation, and the Torah is binding in all the generations. The Torah guides us in all the generations and all the societies and all the cultures. Famous Rav Soloveitchik used to give an annual drasha at the Mizrahi convention, and every time he would give a fantastic drasha in Yiddish. They're printed in Hebrew already, and they're printed in English. So one of the drashas he spoke, he used to have an unusual style of speaking. He was a very good speaker, so he would say, if I would be the Rambam, I would have written 14 animamans. I would have added on a 14th Hanumaman, that the Torah is meaningful and has and value in all generations and all societies and all cultures. The Torah guides us. The Tanoim, the Gemara tells us the Tanoim would look around wherever they lived in the culture, and they would see what Midas Tovus the Goyim have, and sometimes they would approve of them, and they would say, we should adopt them. And sometimes they would say they don't fit in with our set of ideals. We can't accept them. Some things you should accept from the Goyim. The Gemara says the Persians had nice practices, and the Greeks had some nice practices, and the Romans had some nice practices, or whatever. It's not that they were wearing blinders and they didn't look around what's happening. They looked. And some things they picked up from the Musalim, and other things not, because they decided what fits in with the culture of the Torah, what doesn't fit in. So that's this significant Sefer Bifnei Atzma. Vehim Sohar and Menucha Yaimar is this idea that the Torah travels from generation to generation, from continent to continent, from culture to culture, and the Torah always has what to say. What are the Nunim Hafuchim all about? They're backwards Nuns. So we know that there's a Medrash that's called Yalkut Shemayni. That was was put together in the days of the Rishonim, and it's a likut of different Gemaras and Yerushalmis and Toseftas and other Midrashim. It's a likut of Midrashim on Tanakh, Yalkut Shemayim. Then in later years, someone put together Yalkut Horu Uveini, is a likut of Midrash Pliya, strange Midrashim. Medrash Pliya. It's a new, a different kind of a Medrash. So there's a Medrash Pliya that's quoted in this Yalkut HaRiveini on these psukim. Why do you have Nunim Hafuchim? So the Medrash says that a Nun in Aramaic is a fish, and Nunim Hafuchim represents the fish that swims against the tide. That the Jewish people are always swimming against the tide. The whole world has gone in one direction, and the Jews are going in the opposite direction. A lot of times the world adopts a certain attitude and the Jews can't accept it because it's in contradiction to what we stand for. So we have to go in the opposite direction. Every summer, the last 12 years or so, I go touring in Europe with a whole group of people. So we go visiting different countries. I remember one year we visited Italy, and then when we were in Rome, so they were going to go visit the Vatican Museum. So you have to pay admission fee to go to the Vatican Museum. So they told us that part of the admission fee goes to keep the museum going. Part of it goes to support the Vatican. So are you allowed to pay an admission fee if part of it goes to the church? I thought we shouldn't be allowed to go. So they told me everybody goes there. All the most religious groups, everybody goes. So we went. I don't know, maybe it wasn't allowed in the first place. I wasn't so convinced that it was permissible in the first place. So then we asked the tour guide, when you go on this tour, do you have to go through any churches? So the guy thinks for a moment. He says, no, you don't have to go through any churches. So going the tour, going. There's nothing really to see there. If we would have notified them in advance that we're coming, they would have been able to show us the Kisviyarav, the Rambam, and all the Swarm that they have. But we didn't notify them. You come the last minute, so you just see the same as everybody else. So they have statues of the different leaders, different warriors, nothing of value to us, nothing of value to my group. We were bored with the whole thing. That in order to leave, you have to go through the, I think it's the Sistine Chapel, in order to walk out of the building. So we said, we asked them, is it still used for prayer services? The guy says, yes. So he said, we asked you in advance, but do you have to go through a church? He said, he forgot all about that. On the way out, the only way to go out is to walk through the Sistine Chapel. So we walked like the fish that swims backwards. My whole group of 50 people, we were not walking backwards, we were walking against the tide. Everybody walked in the entrance, it was going this way, we were going the other way. Instead of going through the Sistine Chapel, we were walking against the flow of everybody else again. We went out the entrance instead of walking out the exit. That was literally like the fish that goes against the tide. But the Gemara has this idea, Maseches Avodah Zarah, when they talk about kosher fish and non-kosher fish. So the Gemara sounds like it says, it's a question whether this is correct, halacha lemaisa, that the kosher fish has to have fins and scales. And the idea behind having the scales is that it protects the fish, so it has the ability to swim against the tide. The trefa fish cannot swim against the tide. The Gemara has, at one point, the Gemara suggests maybe the trefa fish don't have a backbone, only the kosher fish have a backbone. The kosher fish have scales to protect them, so they have the ability to swim against the tide. So that's what the Yalkut HaRiveini says. This represents the Jewish people, the fish that can swim against the tide. The Jews are always swimming against the tide. The whole world is going in one crazy direction, and the Jewish people are going in a totally different direction. On another occasion, Rav Soloveitchik held a drosha for the Mizrahi, also printed, one of the beautiful droshas, that many people recite two different brachas in the morning, and Oysen Lo Yoyev Koyach, and you say, Oysen Yisrael B'Gevura. So Oysen Lo Yoyev Koyach is a bracha for all of humanity. People work a whole day, then they're tired, so they go to sleep, and then you regain their health, their strength, they regain their strength. And Oysen Yisrael B'Gevura, Kodesh Bracha gives the Jewish people Gevura. So what's the difference between Gevura and Koyach? Aren't the two brachas saying the same thing? Many don't say the bracha on Nosan Liav Korach. The Vilna Goyen holds that you shouldn't say it because it doesn't appear in the Gemara. It's one of the brachas that does not appear in the Gemara. The end of brachas, they give you the whole list of all the brachas HaShachar. So many will not say it. But those who do say, so what are you saying? Two brachas that are the same. Rav Soloveitchik explained that Korach means physical strength and Gevura means heroism, that the Jewish people are heroes. Oz Yisrael B'Gevura. We go against the tide. Everybody, the whole society is pushing in one direction. And the Jews push in a different, we're pushing in the direction that the Torah tells us to push. And Avraham Avinu is referred to by the Chumash as Avraham HaIvri, and Jewish people are referred to Ivrim Ivri Anochi. Yoina Hanavi says Ivri Anochi, and the Jewish people are called Ivrim. Shnei Anoshim Ivrim. What is Ivrim? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim two interpretations, two understandings of what the term is, why the Jewish people known as Ivrim. So one pshat is Avraham Avinu came from the other side of the river, came from Aram Naharai. And then the other pshat is, no, Ivrim kol halam kulam me'ever echad v'Avraham me'ever hasheni. The whole world is going in one direction. Avraham Avinu is taking on the whole world. He doesn't go along with the society. He figures out what's Derech Hashem, and he acts accordingly. In the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, you have the statement, Moshe kibbutz Torah Misina Misor Yoshua, etc. And the Bartanura has a famous comment, doesn't this Mishnah belong in the beginning of Brachos? As an introduction to Mishnayos, the Torah Shem Baal Peh should say, we believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, not only the text of the Torah Shem Bichsav, but the Torah Shem Baal Peh is also Min HaShamayim. So why does it only appear in the middle of Nezikin and as an introduction to Pirkei Avos? It should be in the beginning of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the beginning of Zroim. So the Bartanura says, it's not necessary. Anyone who's learning Torah Shem Baal Peh, anyone who's learning Mishnayos, Torah Shem Baal Peh, it's understood that he believes that the Torah Shem Baal Peh is Men HaShamayim. The Chiddush is that even Pirkei Avos, which many translate as Ethics of the Fathers, and the Fathers referring to the Tanoim, who are quoted in the Mishnayos, so the Mishnah says the Tanoim didn't invent these ideas. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, all of our ethics and all of our morality is based on what it says in Tanakh. And the Vilna Goyen has what might be called a commentary on Pirkei Avos. It's not really a commentary. The Bir HaGron Pirkei Avos is like the Bir HaGron Shulchan Aruch. The Bir HaGron Shulchan Aruch just gives you all of our mekaymus. The Vilna Gaon was a descendant of the one who wrote the Bir HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. And the Bir HaGoyla always gives you a mocker for the Sif. And the Vilna Gaon gives you a mocker for every phrase in the Sif. Sometimes the Sif is based on the Gemara, but this phrase comes from Tosfos, that phrase comes from the Rambam. So the Bir HaGoyla assumes that you're reading first the Bir HaGoyla, and then he's going to supplement the Bir HaGoyla, and he's going to give you the rest of the missing Mar Mekoymus on the Shulchan Aruch. So the same is true, the Bir HaGoyla on Pirkei Avos. He just gives you the Mar Mekoymus in Tanakh. And he's working on the premise that in some editions of the Bir HaGoyla on Pirkei Avos, they have this introduction, that the opening Mishnah in Bava Kamma says, Arba Ovis Nezikin. So Rashi writes, Ovis Korel Hanach Dechsivim Behedi Bekro. Pirkei Avos doesn't mean ethics of the fathers. It's not referring to the Tanoim of the Ovis. Ovis is ideas that appear in Tanakh are called Ovis. Toldos are ideas that are similar to what it says in Tanakh, like Ovis and Toldos and Nezikin. So the Ovis, Rashi says, Shor Borem Abahever is explicit in Chumash. And the Toldos are not explicit, but it's sufficiently similar that Toldos aim kayetzibahem, since the Toldos are regal kayregal, and Toldos are keren kekeren, and Toldos are bar kibbar, and Toldos are eish keish. So Ovis means things that are explicit in Tanakh. So the Vilna Gaon says, everything in Mishnayos Pirkei Avos says in Tanakh. So he gives you Mar Mekaymus, usually Tehillim, Mishlei, Koheles, once in a while it's really a Chumash, and other places in Tanakh. So that's what the Bartanura writes, that other nations also have ethicists who wrote books on morality and ethics, but all of their ethics and morality, they made up on their own, from their own heads. So sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good. Our ethics is all Min HaShamayim. Our ethics was not invented by the Tanoim. They're quoting things from Tanakh. So that's why the Bartanura, the opening Bartanura, and Pirkei Avos said, that's why the Mishnah writes, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai, at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, you shouldn't think that only the halachas of the Torah Shem Baal Peh were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even the ideas of ethics and morality, which may be common sense, would dictate, no, this is all Min HaShamayim. We believe in Torah Min HaShamayim. We believe that God is the one who determines what's ethical and what's moral. And we have to follow the Dvar HaShem. We believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, that the words of the Torah, word for word and letter for letter, was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what we said on different occasions. The Gemara will learn out from the fact that a word is spelled Mole Yochoser, the word Na'aro, is often spelled Nun Ayin Reish, and once in a while spelled Nun Ayin Reish Hey. So the Gemara learns out in Ksubis why there's a difference. Why over here is spelled Mole? The word Tahor is usually spelled Tes Hey Bab Reish, sometimes Tes Hey Reish, and more will learn out a Din. Why it's spelled Mole Yochoser? Kadosh, usually spelled Kuf Dalet Vav Shin, once in a while spelled without a Vav. Chosah, so the Tanoim will learn out something from that. How can you learn out? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, and letter for letter. So every phrase counts. When you have the Shonis Kfulim, it says Kavati Gberenu, we spoke about it last week, it says in yesterday's Seder, Kavati Gberenu, so the Gemara learns out, Yidarshan L'Shonis Kfulim. HaNiktanik Nosin Titim Pesach Tiftach Mos Yumos. Whenever you have the Shonis Kfulim, we have not followed the view of Rabbi Shmuel that did B'Torah K'lishan Mei Adam. Rabbi Shmuel was of the opinion that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he dictated it B'Loshem Mei Adam. So people, a lot of times, say extra things. They speak unnecessarily. I speak a lot, and once every couple of years, I listen to a tape of my own talk. I can't understand how anybody can follow what I say. I realize that I never finish a sentence. I start a sentence and then I start another sentence. I never finish a sentence. I don't know how you can follow what I'm saying. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. When the Rebbe Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, did he dictate it b'loshem mei adam? So you had people repeat themselves unnecessarily, or no? So we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Lo gibbe Torah k'lishan mei adam. Whenever you have the shonis kful midashin something. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Deis that Derech B'riyosu Shel Adam, normally man was created in such a way that he's a social animal. He likes to get along with other people. You don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. Most people are followers. Most people are not leaders. Most people are followers. So the Rambam says, therefore there's a din that you're not allowed to be friendly with a Rasha. The opening pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei hu ish asher lo halach ba'atzas u'shoim, v'derech ha'tayim lo yomar, v'moshe v'leitzim lo yoshav. So the Gemara has a comment, shelo halach ba'atzas u'shoim. He doesn't walk. If he don't walk, then you won't, it won't lead to the next step. Moshe, Hansen said, v'derech Hashem lo yomar. If you're going to walk with them, then you're going to stand still and carry on conversation. And then, Moshe v'leitzim lo yoshav, then you're going to sit and discuss. One thing is going to lead to the other. So you should be careful not even to walk with the Rishoyim. And this will not lead to Omad, and this will not lead, Memele will not lead to Yoshav. Whom you're friendly with is very important. You have to be very careful whom you associate with. And Avram Avinu spoke to his nephew Lot that there's a Riv. So Avram offers Lot. Let's separate. So Lot decided to go where the money is. He said, he saw that you're going to make a lot of money when you go there. So he didn't care about the fact that he's going to leave his uncle, who's preaching monotheism. He's going to go with the gangsters, with the Rishoyim, who do all the averis in the world, because he wants to get rich. We're supposed to learn from the Chumash not to make that choice. It's better to be a little less wealthy and to live with the tzaddikim rather than to live with the Rishoyim in a society of Rishoyim and to be wealthier. The Chumash records the story of the original sin, the Chet of Eitz Hadas. So a question can be raised, Bishlema, according to the Catholics, that the original sin plays such a major role in their theology. So we understand why the Chumash writes about the original sin. But in our religion, we believe that the kind of Shamashan is to be Tahira. I was born with a pure soul. And when I do Averis, then I stain my soul. So what is the significance of the original sin? What does it have to do with me? Why does the Torah write the story of Adam and Rishon and Chava had a sin for Neitz Adas? It's irrelevant to me. So the Malbim in his commentary on Chumash explains that the Chumash records the story of the Eitz Hadas to teach us what a typical Avera is like. That people will always think the grass is greener on the other side. They think that if they'll sin, they'll have an affair with the Eish Hazish, they'll have more pleasure than if they live with their own wife. You can have the same pleasure with your own wife as with someone else's wife. People think if they'll be Mechal Shabbos, they'll make more money. You can make more money, b'chol. There are multimillionaires, Jewish people, are Shomer Shabbos, the heter, and they don't cheat in business. The Gemara has a whole arichas and chulin, that everything the Torah prohibited us from getting pleasure from, there's a parallel pleasure that you can get from eating the heter. You want to know what basar b'cholov tastes like, so there's a certain kind of food that tastes, that is basar b'cholov, and you're allowed to eat it. Certain treif of fish, you want to know what the treif of fish tastes like. There are kosher fish that taste exactly the same as the treif of fish. So the same, the Eitz Hadas. What was the Eitz Hadas? What was so delicious about the Eitz Hadas? So the Tanoim weren't there in Gan Eden, so they had different opinions. What exactly was the Eitz Hadas? One opinion is that the Eitz Hadas was an Esrog tree. It doesn't seem to be the only Esrog tree. There were other Esrog trees as well in Gan Eden. And the Chumash describes the reason why Chava and Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, they saw that it's nechmad lamara. It looked like it was very tasty. All the trees in Gan Eden are described nechmad lamara. They were all tasty. They all looked delicious. So what was the difference in this tree and the other trees? The other trees were also, there were a lot of Esrog trees. According to one opinion in the Tanaim, it must have been Te'enu. Because after they sinned and they realized that Vayake Rumim Hema, so they took Vayispru Ale Te'enu. So the other trees, Rashi quotes Acha Medrash, the other trees didn't allow them to take any leaves in order to make clothing. And the fig tree allowed them to take fig leaves to cover their bodies. So it must be that they sinned from the fig tree. So one opinion is that was a fig tree. But there are other fig trees. It wasn't the one and only fig tree. So you could have gotten the same hana by eating a different tree. They didn't have to eat from the Eitz Hadas. According to a third opinion in Tanoim, wheat used to grow on trees at that time. Then later on, the wheat grows in the ground. So they ate wheat. There were other wheat trees. It wasn't the only wheat tree. So that's one lesson that we should learn from the Eitz Hadas, that people always have this imagination that you can get more pleasure by doing the Dabar HaOsah than from doing the Dabar HaMutah. And the Gemara says, it's not true. People always think the grass is greener on the other side. And then, the Medrash points out on the Pasuk, Ki Shamata L'Kol Ishtecha. What does it say? L'Kol Ishtecha. She say, the Marishan listened to his wife. Why the kol ishtecha? So the Medrash understands that Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, and then she told the Marishan, why don't you have a little from the Eitz Hadas? Said the Rebbe Shlom said, no, he's going to punish us, he's going to die. So she started crying, and she said, you mean I'm going to die, and you're going to survive, and you're going to marry someone else? And she was crying, no one else to marry. She was the only girl around. So she was crying so much till other Marishan gave in. So a lot of times we give in to the pressure of society, to the pressure of your wife, or to the pressure of your children, or to the pressure of the general culture and the society. So the Torah is telling us that's a lot of times the source of sin. You give in to the pressure of society. You shouldn't give in. The Jews should be like the fish that swims against the tide. Jews were always countercultural. They were always fighting certain aspects of the culture where they lived. We shouldn't fall in. I remember many years ago, my wife showed me on the internet, there was some Palestinian non-Jew who was in business, and he lives in America, and he knew a lot of Jewish businessmen. And he knew for years that this season, he had the high holidays, the Day of Atonement, New Year's, okay, they celebrate New Year's, the Day of Atonement. So he asked, what is the Day of Atonement all about? So his Jewish business friend, he asked, what do you do? So he said, we go to the synagogue, we admit to God that we sin, and we bang on our chest and our hearts, and we promise God we're not going to repeat the sin again, and we start a new slate. So the Palestinians said, what a beautiful idea. In our culture, we never admit that we made a mistake. That's not manly. that's not like a man to admit that you made a mistake. We'll do anything. We'll stay on ahead to cover up on anything wrong that we do. And then that'll lead us to do other things that are improper. And then we cover up on that. And then we keep on covering up. We never admit that we made a mistake. What a beautiful religion. There's a concept of tshuva. You admit that you made a mistake. And you start all over again. Then another, this was a different email that was floating around also. A Palestinian was complaining about the fact that the Palestinians are suicide bombers in Eretz Yisrael. So he said, the Israelis are getting Nobel Awards. This was years ago, I think, when Professor Almond got the Nobel Award. He lives in Eretz Yisrael now. He said, the Israelis are getting Nobel Awards. They're accomplishing things for the world that are recognized as big breakthroughs. He said, why are the Palestinians committing suicide? Suicide is for a person that doesn't have any value in living. He has no future. Why do we have no future? Let's do like the Israelis. Let's try to do research. Let's try to discover new things and invent new things. And we'll also get the Nobel Awards. The Jewish people are always at the forefront of ethics and the forefront of research. The Jews are less than 1% of the world population, much less than 1% of the world population. The Jews get over 20% of the Nobel Awards. And the Nobel Awards are not chosen by Jewish people. And there's a high percentage of the 22% of Nobel Awards that go to Jewish people. There's a very high percentage of them go to religious Jews. I remember one of the women was a doctor who got the Nobel Award wore a shekel. They have a picture with the shekel. Her father-in-law was a prominent rabbi in Rochester, New York. Many of them are religious. I think it's a higher percentage of religious people than there is the percentage of religious Jews among them. There's a smaller percentage of Orthodox Jews than is represented in Nobel Awards. The Jewish people always do Tikkun Olam. Well, we have our own system of ethics and our own system of values. Rabbi Soloveitchik, yesterday I was visiting by a rabbi. I ate a meal on Shabbos by a rabbi. So the rabbi shows me, I said something in one of the drushes that I delivered in the shul. So the rabbi shows me, they put out the Chamish Uchum Shetar with Rabbi Soloveitchik's comments that they collect from different sources. So I used an expression, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say, we shouldn't try to imitate the society, we shouldn't feel that we should imitate the society that we live in. It's a neurotic society. That's what he said 60 years ago. Now it's not neurotic, now it's psychotic. Neurotic means you have a neurosis. Psychotic means you are crazy. So we should imitate the psychotic and neurotic society. Baruch Hashem, we have our own values. And our values have been respected throughout the generations by different Goyish thinkers. Rav Soloveitchik was sometimes mentioned, the beauty of Malchus, Chanes, and Shofaris, the prayer that we daven so quickly in Rosh Hashanah, you don't pay attention to it. The prayer is so beautiful, so lofty, so that he told us there's one German philosopher who wrote a whole book in German, but the Malchus, Chanes, and Shofaris he has in the original Hebrew. He says, what a beautiful tefillah it is. We don't appreciate our own religion, the Korach of Tshuva, the Korach of Tfila, the Nusach Tfila. Our values are so beautiful. There was a Goyish theologian who wrote about the Pasuk, I think it's in yesterday's Sedra, when the soldiers are in the army, so they have to be careful not to have Tzoya and Eraglayim and not to have Ervo. Until the Torah became popular, this was a common thing. There was always Erev, Tzoya, Meraglayim, even when they were praying, even when they were doing something religious. This was such a big breakthrough that you have to have cleanliness. You have to, everything should be Mikoyan Hamakam. You have to, if you want to do something godly, you have to have it, you don't do it in the toilet, you don't do it in the Beis HaKisa, you have to have cleanliness. Our religion has such beautiful things. We were brought up as children in our religion. We take everything for granted. Shouldn't take for granted. It's such a beautiful religion. People, a lot of Jewish people feel as if an inferiority complex, as if the Goyim have something that we don't have. We have something that they don't have. We have the Torah, it's Gevaldik, the Torah Min HaShemayim. Everything is Min HaShemayim. Very unfortunate. We live in a society where so many people think that they're Orthodox and they're picking up the worst things from the Umas HaOlam. Medrash has an expression, complaining about the Jewish people that we pick up all the time things from our neighbors. So the Medrash has it, and the Tanaim say you should pick up. The Tanaim say they picked up certain meters, types, meters of their heritage from the Persians, from the Greeks, and from the Romans. So the Medrash has an expression, pick up the wonderful things that the Goyim have. Don't pick up the disgusting things that they have. Shouldn't pick up the disgusting things from the Umas Olam.